This week, NPR's Rob Gifford has been reporting from Tibet. His trip to the remote Himalayan region coincided with the arrival of two envoys of the Dalai Lama. It was the first visit to Tibet in 20 years by formal representatives of the exiled spiritual leader, and a possible indication of improved relations between Beijing, which rules Tibet, and the Dalai Lama. He won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1989 for his nonviolent campaign to free Tibet from Chinese rule. But as Rob Gifford reports from the Tibetan capital, Lhasa, there are signs that the Dalai Lama's influence inside Tibet is not so great as it once was.
The monasteries of Tibet are functioning again after decades of attack by ardent Maoists claiming religion was the opium of the people. Today's more reform-minded Communist Party government in Beijing is keen to show that religion is once again flourishing, not only in Tibet, but all over China. Monks do speak of increased freedoms in pursuing their religion, but there's a catch. There's a limit to how many monks are allowed at the monasteries. They must still take political education classes. And most importantly, there's one person who can never be mentioned. The 14th Dalai Lama, who fled Tibet in 1959 after a failed insurrection by the Tibetans against strict Maoist rule from Beijing. In one Tibetan monastery, though, they're not strictly adhering to the law. Ushering the way into his tiny monastic room, a monk dressed in saffron robes lowers his voice and says in stilted Chinese that he and everyone at the monastery love the Dalai Lama and hope he will soon come back to Tibet. He gets up and pulls back a curtain into a tiny, dark adjoining room. There on the wall are several pictures of the Dalai Lama. The monk says he has to be careful because police come searching through the monastery sometimes looking for pictures of the Dalai Lama. And there are fake monks too, he says, Chinese spies and informants. Several monks he knew are now in jail for their support of the Dalai Lama. But despite continuing support in the monasteries and in rural areas, in the last decade or so in the cities, there are signs that such devotion to the Dalai Lama may be waning. Here outside the Jokang Temple, the spiritual heart of Tibetan Buddhism in Lhasa, dozens of people are prostrating themselves full length on the floor. Each has a little mat that they push forward onto and two small pieces of cardboard that they slide their hands on as they go forward in full prostration. It was here in the 1980s that Tibetans, young and old, would approach foreigners and ask them for a picture of the Dalai Lama. One of Beijing's most effective weapons against the Dalai Lama is not communist propaganda, but economic development. Lhasa is full of nightclubs like this one, and startup companies and internet cafes. There are now as many ethnic Chinese here as there are Tibetans. The central government is pouring in millions of dollars to develop what is a very poor region, or, as critics accuse, to buy off Tibetans' allegiance to the Dalai Lama with new jobs and consumer culture. And at this particular nightclub, it seems to be working. After a long conversation, an 18-year-old Tibetan, his tongue lubricated by a couple of bottles of Budweiser, says his grandmother likes the Dalai Lama, but he doesn't really know much about him, and he doesn't really care. I'm not that interested in politics, he says, adding that he's not that interested in Buddhism either. The boy's friend, also 18 and also Tibetan, says he's heard the Dalai Lama has fathered several illegitimate children. That's not right for a monk to do, is it, he says. If Tibetan exiles are hoping this will be the next generation of revolutionaries who will rise up against Chinese rule, they may well be disappointed. But the Chinese government in Beijing probably knows too that it can't completely wipe out religious and ethnic allegiances with economic progress, which may be why Beijing recently decided to open talks again with envoys of the Dalai Lama to try to negotiate a settlement that would neutralize his threat from outside China by possibly persuading him to return to Tibet on Chinese terms. Rob Gifford, NPR News, Lhasa, Tibet.
Tomorrow, a report on the notorious Drepchi prison. Chinese authorities claim the prisoners' standard of living there is better than that of most Tibetan nomads, but human rights groups brand it a place of torture and death.